I'm here. Trust me, it's not about me, but it's about him. But when Derek got up and shared that, Derek, my scripture is from Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. So I thought, well, we'll just let him go because he's going to be able to preach this thing. But so I love it when God does that, don't you? What that says to me is that God's going to deal with some Goliaths tonight. Because that's what one of the portions or parts of what he asked me to share tonight was about Goliath. Not just the story of David and Goliath. We've all, or many of us, most of us have heard the story of David and Goliath, the giant and the little guy, and he went and, you know, killed the giant. And but God began to deal with me and talk to me about some specifics. And sometimes we need to know about the giants that are in the land, the giants that want to position themselves across from us. And so I won't be able to read the whole story tonight and give you I have a lot, so maybe I'll come back and we'll finish it up. But we'll go as far as we can, but we're going to talk about Goliath. And the Lord said unto Samuel, it got bumped here. Now the Philistines gathered together their army to battle, and they were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah. Now I'm mad. I'm mad when I read this because the Philistines are the enemy and they are at this particular place, which is God's land. They have positioned themselves on his territory. This belonged to Judah, not only the children of Israel, but praise. It belonged to God, and the enemy came along and positioned himself on one side, a piece of God's property. And so Saul and all the men of Israel were gathered together, and they were ready for battle. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. So this is 1 Samuel 17. It would be good for you to go home and read it. One, just because it's a wonderful, incredible story that could never be exhausted. We just could never. And secondly, you will keep me accountable that I am staying with the word here. And they were in battle, and Israel stood on one side on a mountain, and the Philistines stood on the other, and there was a valley in between. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. And it talks about how high, tall he was, and it talks about how, he just was huge. Like, some say 11 feet tall. That's big. Yeah, that's, I would notice that. And so here's this army of Saul, and they're looking at this, and, well, let's just go on with the story. So it talks about all of his armor. It talks about all, you know, how impressive that is. And if you'll follow me, what I'm talking about is Goliath is an enemy to our thinking, to our belief. When something impresses me, that's different than the bear and the lion, and we'll get there. See, that impresses me, or that frightens me. I can deal with a bear or a lion, but a Goliath who is bigger than anything I have ever seen. And even if they would have brought and just put his armor out, many of us would just flee at the sight of the armor. He wouldn't even have to step out. I mean, when you read, and I really do want you to read this, when you read about it and look it up and study it a little bit, it is just massive armor and wet spears. I can't say that word. the spear and the all this, even had to have someone carry his shield out. It was just massive and impressive. I guess a question I would have for you tonight, and maybe the Lord would have it for you as well. What is the biggest battle you've ever fought? Or are you fighting it right now? Would be foolish of us to think, even though we are believers and most of us all are here, and if you're not, we want you to be before you leave. But it would be foolish for us to think, just because I'm a believer, there's not a Goliath that could come along. I mean, this was on God's territory, and this was God's army that this great, big, huge thing was launching out against and trying to cause them to be intimidated. That was the job of Goliath, was to cause intimidation. So what's our biggest giant? It could be, as many of you know, that I went through a number of years ago, a grieving time and losing my husband. Grief could have been my Goliath. It was huge initially. There were moments and days, and I just used my own experiences. I don't know yours, or I'd use those and kind of, you know, share your life, because it might be better than mine. I don't know. But it was huge, and I didn't know if I would ever get through it. And I was really even afraid to address it or come near it. And so I guess tonight, one of the things that we're going to do is look at maybe what is our greatest battle, what is our Goliath, and is Goliath, the Goliath, that battle, still breathing in your life? Because we're going to kill Goliath tonight. Yeah. We are. I promise you. We're going to take Goliath down. And so wouldn't you, you know, and I love the humor of the word, because you know, when it talks about Goliath coming out and his shield bearer went out before him, don't you know that's a job you wouldn't want? I mean, seriously. Okay, so here's this big giant, and I'm going to carry out his shield. That's going to put me in front of him. Yeah, don't you just love it? That's not a job I'd want. So here they are. The battle is ongoing. The enemy has displayed himself. Well, not the whole army, just Goliath, really. Has put himself out there. And he says to them, "Why are you come out to set battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you a servant of Saul?" And I said, "Okay, Lord, help me understand why he made that statement." Well, first of all, the Philistines had been in battle and had been beaten not long before that by Israel. And Israel's, you have to know this, Israel's ground would never be a footing for the enemy, except they had a problem. Saul began, their king, began to have problems. And so what it did was kind of, you know the phrase, staying under the shadow of his wing? We need to be mindful of staying under the shadow of the Almighty. And we live in a day where everything around us and the natural wants to pull us out from that. We live in a day of compromise. We live in a day of what's right, what's wrong, and we can be persecuted for taking a stand in some areas, in some ways. And so we live in a tough time, but God, under the shadow of his wing, will carry us, will shield us, will take care of us. But I get from out out from under that, and I am a candidate for intimidation. I don't know who I am. I don't know who he is. What if your Goliath is a financial Goliath? If you haven't had a season of proving that he is the provider, Goliath has a good inroad into you for intimidation. But if I've come through the test of he is my provider, and not only that, I believe in tithing and giving back, if I haven't come through that, I may have a Goliath standing on the mountain over there. I'm kind of trying to help identify some Goliaths that could be around. Mine may not be just like yours, but we will have a Goliath somewhere in our lifetime. And what will we do? So Israel, there were some problems going on. And it's possible that the Philistines had heard that Samuel the prophet had a falling out with Saul the king, and Samuel no longer assisted or advised Saul, and that Saul had grown melancholy, depressed, and unfit for business. Because remember, that may have been what prompted the Philistines to say, hey, okay, they beat us one time, but now there's a problem here. And if you think the enemy doesn't know when I'm not at my strongest in the Lord, then we're in denial. You know, he knows. You know, I used to say, as I've said to you many times before, Iverna was my mentor growing up, and I would say to her, you know, the two ways that the enemy attacks me is through my car and my kids, because I don't know how to fix a car, and I'm scared to death I'm not going to be a great mom. And so she said, wow, open door. Of course he's going to come and shout at me. Of course I'm going to have flat tires. Of course the check engine light is going to come on. Because I'm tested as to what I believe in the King, our Lord. And so testings come. It isn't because God gets a thrill out of that. Although, no, I don't think so. But testings come. And why are we shocked when they do? I don't necessarily like them so much. But I have learned something, and we'll see a little later on in the story, David actually did it. David ran towards Goliath. Wow. So anyway, because there were some problems with Saul, and he wasn't in his strongest place in the Lord, that may have prompted this attack. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Just chew on it. It's so good to ask questions when you read. Why is that phrase in there? Why did he run towards? Why does he have an armor bearer? I'm thinking, okay, when Goliath went down, that poor person that was carrying that shield, flat. Don't you think? I mean, you got to read the word sometimes with even, can't you? Here's this big giant. Thud, he goes down, because you know the story, he dies. And so here's this little guy out there in front of him, and whap, he's going to get flattened. He will not be carrying that anymore. You know, there's just some things that come along with the job. So. Saul and his army were greatly afraid, it says. And for 40 days, two times a day, 80 times, this giant came out and shouted and proclaimed things that were not true and intimidated God's army, God's people. So now, here comes a little guy. My question was, okay, Lord, so here comes David. What does it take to kill a Goliath? And he said, well, look at David. Okay, I'll look at David. It was young David. Young David had not so long before been anointed to be king after Saul. He was just a young boy. In fact, he had been overlooked when all the brothers were looked at to be anointed. He had almost been, in a way, forgotten. So when they called him in, what did he do? He obeyed. So in order to be a giant killer, I need to obey, right? I need to obey. So that he was the youngest son of 8 sons. He was a shepherd, but he didn't even have his own sheep. They were his dad's. So you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to own a lot of things. You don't have to be old. You don't have to always be in the spotlight to be a giant killer. Is that good? He was, after he was overlooked, but yet then he was anointed, and Saul began to have his problems, he was called to the palace. Remember? Because he could play instruments, and they needed to quiet the evil spirit. Saul needed to be calmed down, because he was becoming a crazy person. And so they called, it worked out, and they called David to the palace to play his instruments and to minister to the king that he was going to replace. Now, what I don't see in the story is that in his youth, he decided to take his stand and position. See? Sometimes when God confirms in our hearts and our lives the gifts and the callings and his plans, I want them now. Right now. Look at me. I am in the palace. Yeah, you know, I know what I'm doing. But I am the king. That's haughty. Does that? So to be a giant killer, I can't do that. I can't be demanding and immature, even though I might be young. I can't. That isn't going to get me to a place where I can be a giant killer. So in my very own life, if I'm demanding some recognition and the spotlight, back up, babe, because Goliath has got to come down. So, you know, anyway. He was then, the 3 eldest brothers, but let me back up one. So he was there at the palace and he ministered to the king. And then when the king quieted down, he returned to feed and tend the sheep on probably that backside of the desert wherever they kept the sheep. But he had a responsibility. And it certainly wasn't in the limelight, but it was something he was good at, something that he had done before. In fact, that job was probably given to him simply because he was the youngest, because they passed that down. It wasn't like, you won this job, you know. It's like, oh, it's your turn now. But he willingly came from the palace back to tending and feeding the sheep. guarding them as well. I remember years ago being involved with Iverna's ministry when we used to minister to pastors and their wives, and we brought them in and we would house them for a week, and it was wonderful. But I remember those of us that were on staff, and trust me, it was volunteer, and you volunteered many hours a week, and you were happy to do that. But you would have bathroom cleaning assignment, and then you would be teaching a class next. And then you would be in kitchen duty, and then you would be doing laundry, and then you'd be doing counseling with pastors. And we learned something very valuable. All of us are privileged. All of us must be able to function in all different areas. Does that mean privileged? Blessed because he called us. And okay with what I need to do at the moment. This is my assignment. The bathroom? Yeah. Yep. And about the time, in the beginning, I was not a very happy person. And so I had that assignment until I got happy. You know her. You know her. You know Iverna. I was not released from that particular duty until I got happy. It took me a while to figure that out. And then I was really happy all the time. Oh, my goodness. So I got to pass that one on for a while. But those of you who are a little bit older, maybe not as old as I am, but a little bit older and have been walking with the Lord for some time, don't you look back on your life and see the beautiful thread of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus working through your life? That there wasn't one thing that was not of value. What a treasure that is. What a treasure it is. So the three eldest brothers went to battle. In a sense, David was overlooked again. His dad didn't send him out to battle. Only the three eldest got to go. But his dad called him in one day and wanted him to take food out. And again, he obeyed. Doing what the Lord asked me. See, we asked the Lord, show me what to do, show me, tell me what to do, show me what to do. Then we think about whether we're going to do it or not. How does that work? It doesn't work. You will not kill the giant. Not with it. Well, I want to be used to God, and I'd really like to pray for people. So you go to the class or whatever it is that we ask you to go to, and then we ask you to come up here and pray for people, and say, I don't know if I can. I cannot hear that. I cannot hear that. Because I am going to be walking you up here. Put your hand on that person and pray. That is what I am. Okay. So if you ask him, change my life, Lord, change my life. And the people you're renting from want to sell the house. And you go into panic. Wait a minute. What? Calm down. Don't be intimidated or afraid. Don't let the giant cause you to flee like the armies of the Lord did in that situation. They were trained. They were ready for battle, and they were on their own homeland. But they were intimidated. They started to believe what Goliath was saying. They began to lose courage and hope. So here's David. So he sent out to his brothers to bring some supplies. He's responsible. He left his father's sheep, with someone. And then he had a carriage that he apparently took the stuff on. And he even left the carriage with the carriage keeper at where the army was. I mean, come on, this is a responsible person. Please don't tell me you're going to do something and then don't follow through. Now, true emergencies come, but do you know how often they really come? It's not like three times a week. So if you give your word, keep your word. If you have a responsibility, be responsible to it, or make a decision that that isn't fitting you, and then make provision and way to change that. Please just don't flake out. Not that I'm anybody, but I don't do well with that either. I think part of that is my growing up, my childhood. I didn't get to see my father very often. My parents were divorced when I was 5. And so, three or four times in my lifetime, he had made it known that he was going to come and visit. And he didn't show. That does something to people. That does something to children. It just breaks something. And it takes a while. And so, you know, some of us are very sensitive to people if they give their word and they don't follow through. You know, you get 3 strikes and then you're out. No, God's still working on me. That's not true. I love God's people. I do. I really do. Anyway, he was responsible. And that is a key factor in a giant killer. Be responsible. Keep your word. So he took the things, and his brothers had a real problem with it. So he also struggled with jealousy from others. He was doing what he needed to do because his father told him to do it, and then his eldest brother gave him a bad time for it. But what I see in that, and I see a lot in that, but one thing that I'll point out to you is that he did not engage in a fight with his brother. He made a statement, and then families fight a lot sometimes. People who have been together in relationships and marriages, sometimes, and you know, I do, you know, work in counseling, and I see a lot of people from, I have people from other states as well. But I see that one thing can be said, and then boom, that hits the other person, and then boom, we're off to the races. Because there's just triggers that happen. And no one wants to manage themselves enough to keep their mouth shut. Even though you know the other person is wrong, you don't have to tell them that. They'll figure it out sooner or later. Let it be a surprise. As long as you know the truth, that's all that matters. Am I right? But sometimes we have to just make our point, and, you know, and we got to get the last word. Well, I found there's a really neat power in not having the last word. They don't know what you're thinking. They don't know if you finally agreed with them or not. I kind of like that. You know, just quiet is sometimes very powerful. So, anyway, he didn't engage in a fight. He didn't let what may have been family history rise up. That wasn't the time for it. He managed himself is basically what I saw in that. And where Derek came in tonight and read the word, he killed a lion and a bear. He was out tending the sheep or whatever he was doing out there. And there came at different times while he was there, in fact, I think it's more than once, but a lion and a bear, they came in to take the sheep. They were going to devour the sheep. That is a different type of enemy than Goliath. It's an enemy, in a sense, because the lion and the bear wants to come in and take what you've got. It's not about intimidating you. It's not about saying words that's going to cause you to doubt. It's just they want to come in and you know, the enemy just wants to come in and steal stuff that belongs to you. Take stuff from you. Remember that song we used to sing a long time ago? I'm taking back from the enemy what, you know, I forget even how the words went, but I liked it at the time because I felt like there was a lot the enemy had taken from me. A lot of joy, a lot of peace. you know, robbed relationships and different things. And so you have to understand that until he killed the lion and the bear, he wasn't ready for a Goliath. So those things that come in and want to steal your whatever, you got to take it down, my friend. You have to take it down, because until you do, you're not ready for your Goliath. In fact, you probably can't even see the Goliath that might be looming over there. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to equip us to know. So know, is the enemy coming in trying to steal your kids out from your home, trying to cause havoc in a relationship between? What's happening there? Take that down. Get some help. Find out what it is. Sometimes I don't want to know. I like those sweet little sheep. I just want to keep my eye on the sheep. I don't want to know that there are predators out there. I mean, it's just Jesus and me, and we're just going to... There are lions and there are bears. Might be parked in the parking lot. I don't know, but be ready. But that's what prepared him. It's what prepared him for Goliath. So then we also see that he makes a statement that, yes, you know, how could this happen? And they take it to Saul, and Saul says, okay, David. You know, David says, I can take him down. And so Saul says, okay. And he says, but I want you to wear my armor. And I thought, wow, most of us would be just like, whoa, you know, I've been anointed to be king. This guy doesn't know it. Now he's giving me his armor. Whoa, I am really something. But he knew it wouldn't fit, and it wasn't his. And he couldn't accomplish what was going to need to be accomplished wearing someone else's call, someone else's anointing, someone else's gifting. See, I want you to come and you know, you give me a word. I don't want to give a word because I might be wrong. So I'll just, like, you come and do it. Then if you're wrong, then it's you, not me. But he had wisdom as a young man, and he knew that he had not tried these weapons of war. He knew he had not. And even at a young age, he had wisdom and the strength not to step into that, not to be wooed by someone else's. There was a time in the body of Christ, and maybe it's not so much now, I don't know, but where people would just, we would just flock. I did it. We flocked from one place. Oh, so-and-so's over here, and they're doing this, and they're giving a word, and this is, and I'd be over there, and then I'd be over there. And I'd wonder why I felt like I was still an immature Christian. And I'm not saying we don't eat what the Lord is serving. But I was just kind of coming under that thing, and I was just reaping the benefits, but I wasn't really growing in my own giftings and my own call and anointing. I was sure enjoying myself. Does that make sense? So he opted not to wear that. And what he had was a sling. I thought, okay, you know, I'm thinking that little, you know, the piece of wood and that little, and boom, boom. No, that's not quite what he had. He had this sling, and he apparently was very skilled in it. And often, actually, it was used in war. It was used to kill animals and all those kind of things. But he was very skilled in it. And as a matter of fact, if they have estimated, and I searched through and read some of this, that thing could go 6 to 7 revolutions in a second. And when it was let go, it had the power of a 45 millimeter handgun. He was skilled in this thing. I'm thinking, wow, I'm just always thought of this little boy, and you know, I thought of this sweet little story, and now I'm beginning to think, wait a minute, I need to be that skilled in what God has placed in my hands, the knowledge that and the understanding that He is Savior, He is Provider, He is Healer. So that when that, and many, many other things, and I need to be that skilled, that when a giant wants to come and say different, something different, that he's not, oh, you know, God's not going to heal you. Boom. Yeah. Don't you know it? So my friends, how am I going to say this? Lord, help me. You are responsible to become skilled. I can pray with you, and you can pray with me, and we need that. But there's a responsibility on my part to go after it for me. Okay? And sometimes in the body of Christ through the land, we just make it too easy that you don't have to do that. We'll just do it for you. If you'll just, you know, come, we'll do it for you. And we don't often create opportunities to sharpen our skill. Am I crazy or am I on board? Okay. By the way, let me say one more thing, and then we're going to do something tonight a little different if we can, Pastor Debbie. I know, she's my friend. We get a little edgy out here once in a while, so. But let me tell you one little side note about Goliath. And this is not from Scripture, but it's from some things that I've read. There has been a great deal of speculation within the medical community over the years about Goliath. I think that's interesting. The most common form of giantism is caused by a benign tumor on the pituitary gland. And it causes an overproduction of growth hormones, which causes the great growth and the great size. There's a name for it, which I can't pronounce, but trust me, just look it up and you'll see this. One of the effects of that is that there's poor vision. They don't see well. And if you'll read back through this story, you'll see that Goliath said to David, you know, who are you that brought these sticks up? He didn't have sticks. He had one staff. So I'm saying to you, this is what I'm saying to you. Goliath may look big and looming and very intimidating, but there's a downside. He is not as powerful as it appears. He is not who he portrays himself to be. The enemy is a liar. And I just thought that was interesting information. Okay, so this giant that was their trophy and their, really, maybe not so much. Nevertheless, it took a David to take him down. A skilled David, even in his youth, a maturity. So I just know tonight that we've got some Goliaths in the place. I know that. I mean, do you feel comfortable enough? Can you say, hey, yeah, you know what? I got a Goliath on the other side of a mountain in my life right now. Yeah, yeah, okay. Or I've just killed one. Or, hey, it's a lion and a bear for me. But one of the things that I want us to do in these last just very few minutes that we have, I want us to take some time and pray for ourselves first before someone else prays with us. It's always wonderful to have someone pray with us. And I don't mean to minimize that. I hope you have not heard that. But sometimes I need to really, really war on my own behalf. One of the things that a Goliath will do is try to convince you that you're nothing, that you're not valuable, that there's not a lot of self-worth in you, that you're not fit for the kingdom, that you're not called, or you're not. That's a lie. That's a lie. And sometimes I have to war to break through that thing. So what I'm going to ask, and I don't know if the musician, we've got someone back there. But I want us, and this is going to sound crazy, but this is what I feel like the Lord said. And so, you know, you weigh that. I want us to stand. I think our musicians are going to come and they're going to lead us. And I would like us to move in prayer like we are in war. Like we are taking back the land. We're going to kill the lion and the bear in our own lives, not in someone else's. And we're going to move around. And I said, Lord, why do you want us to move? He said, I just want you to move. Probably because we're his army. And if he says, move around in prayer, walk around. This building, I mean, this is a wonderful building and we've got a lot of space. So walk around and let's begin to take down the Goliath.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You
have such a powerful presence in this room tonight. Amen. I feel like so many of us have conquered some Goliaths that's been standing in our way for way too long. But I feel like there are some of you here tonight who have not quite had that breakthrough, and you've been distracted and frustrated, and you're not sensing that you're free yet. And if that's you here tonight, I'm going to ask our prayer team if you would come up front here, and we're going to spend a little bit of time with the rest of you who, and there's no shame if you're not there yet. Like Pastor Judy said tonight, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is your night. You're not going to kill Goliath without Jesus on your side, amen? So we're going to open up these altars, and if you need prayer tonight, we're here to minister to you as long as we need to, so that you can finish what God started tonight. Yes. The rest of us, we just continue worshiping for a few moments.
chain will break. His broken hearts declare his praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is